Hello, and welcome to the Missionary Disciple Podcast by Catholic Christian Outreach. The aim of this podcast is to inspire, equip, and challenge you, our listener, to be an active and effective evangelist. I'm your host, Gerhard, a missionary here at the CCO. And today, Angèle and myself sit down and we talk about our faith studies and how all five faith studies work together to help you build up and raise a multiplying missionary disciple. Before we get started, if you have any questions about evangelization, please email us at podcast@cco.ca and we'll answer them in a future episode. All right, let's dive in. Welcome to the podcast. This week, we have a special little episode here for you. It's myself and Angèle. Andre's not with us. And we are going to be taking a look at the five faith studies that we've developed here at CCO. And Angèle's been the driver for all of them. We wanted to really take a look at the five studies because I think a lot of people, you look at our studies and it may not necessarily make 100% sense right up front as to why the studies are designed the way they are. Discovery's the one that everyone likes, everyone enjoys, and is very successful. But we also want to talk about how the other four tie into discovery and build off of discovery, because our faith studies are designed, all five are designed with a very specific arc and purpose in mind. And that purpose is to form intentional missionary disciples.
Yeah, that's right.
So Angèle, you've made the studies from day one.
Yeah.
Take us on a little bit of an overview of the five studies.
Okay, so super fast. So the five studies are discovery, source, growth, obedience, and commission. And so what we're doing through that that line of faith studies is discovery is first, and it is on the kerygma, it is on Jesus Christ, the person of Jesus Christ. And the aim of that study is to bring people to a conversion, to a moment of choice to follow Christ as a disciple. The second one on source is on the Holy Spirit and guides people into a daily, you might say, a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit, how to incorporate the Holy Spirit in your daily life and your daily struggles and in recognizing his presence to help you in the spiritual life. The study on growth is on those basic building blocks of Christian life that are probably no-brainers for everyone, but we take time to look at scripture, prayer, the sacraments, witness and service, fellowship. And so that's a really good and valuable study. The fourth one, obedience, looks at some kind of typical areas in our lives where we are challenged to be more abandoned and surrendered to God and to be more obedient in following him. And the blessings of obedience, how obedience is actually freedom. And we look at some specific things like vocation, we look at decision making, we look at speech, we look at just trusting God with our lives and following his will for us. And then commission, our fifth study is on commissioning. It's bringing people to see that they have a missionary identity by virtue of their baptism and how they can embrace that missionary identity, how they can live out holiness and mission and be called out into the world to be these missionaries. So it's the culmination of all of the studies. And that's, I hope that was a good Twitter enough. It's certainly not Twitter worthy, but that's my short version of the five studies.
I think it gives us a clear overview of like how they fit together and then like what the objective of each one is. Now, you said that discovery is presenting the kerygma and inviting someone to a personal encounter. On campus, as we all know, conversions never happen on the timetable that we necessarily want it. What would you say to the parish or the person who's led a small group? They've taken someone through discovery and there are people in that discovery that have not had a conversion. Would you still encourage that person to go on and take source? Or would you get them to like redo discovery?
I wouldn't, unless they had missed a number of lessons, which often happens. People miss. So then I might say like, you know what? You missed so many. Like, let's just do it again and then get another round at it. But source brings up the relationships diagrams again very early on where we approach it with them, and it's an opportunity to kind of see what they grasped in discovery and where they see themselves now. So we'll present the relationships diagram, say which circle best represents your life. And it's very telling So either they need more formation on, no, like you're in a relationship with Christ now, like things have changed. It's not perfection. It's your decision to follow him. And let's just keep working in that. Let's keep doing ongoing conversion. Or maybe in fact, they've really rescinded from that decision that they made or fell into some serious sin, or they didn't understand what was happening in discovery. So I have found Leading Source to be my second proclamation. Many people have come to put Christ at the center of their lives in Source because it's that dripping it in one more time. But the other thing about discovery that I think leaders need to be aware of is, besides being at all the lessons to see the flow of teaching, the importance of that follow-up. So all of our faith studies have a personal follow-up session, usually around lesson 5 or lesson 6. And that's there really on purpose because we need to have that personal time, that personal interface with a person to say, like, how about you? Like, what have you been going through? What have you been thinking about in this lesson, in this faith study? How's it been going for you? What do you think of the Lord? Like, do you hear him inviting you? Like, let's talk about that. What are obstacles? That kind of wrestling with a person just happens so much better in a personal context. So maybe you're not seeing the conversions that you thought you'd get in discovery, partly because that person actually needs a human, a personal contact with their leader to really talk through the fears or uncertainties that they have about entering into a relationship with Christ. And then I would also say that we've had a lot of success with our evangelization, coupling Eucharistic adoration or some sort of experience to go along with the head stuff that's happening in discovery. So often our people coming through discovery, when we take them to adoration, it's in that the beauty of that moment, in the quiet and in the I guess the supernatural grace that happens in adoration, that they are moved to make a prayer of commitment to Christ and they encounter him in more of an emotive way. So those are ways to get, I guess, maybe greater effectiveness out of discovery, is to not forget those pieces of it.
Mm-hmm. So where did discovery come from? Because all our studies were developed by you.
Yeah.
With Mincisio Start. Isn't there elements of all of them, like, we didn't invent the kerygma. So we're borrowing a lot from scripture, maybe from some different evangelical movements, just mm-hmm. taking what works and plugging in. So where did discovery and then, like, by extension, where did our faith studies come from, or what was the impetus behind creating them?
So I guess learning how to share the kerygma clearly came through our experiences with evangelical groups and seeing how they would teach this. So that for sure is an influence. When I made the first faith study series, I really had, honestly, discovery, source, and growth all in a 6-week study. So I basically taught the kerygma in one lesson, then I taught the Holy Spirit in the next lesson, and then I taught for the next 4 lessons the 4 pieces of the spiritual growth, kind of a growth paradigm. I discovered within a couple of years of leading it that way that it was too fast, that people needed time to process and consider Christ. They needed to think about him as God. They need to understand his death on the cross. They need to understand God's love for them, and that it just needed more time. So it's always hard to rewrite something. Once you've created something, it's hard to say, like, okay, let's put that aside and let's start again. But I did. And so that was 1992. And I reframed the study. So I made a whole 6-week book on, which is essentially discovery now, although we've improved it. But that was a 6-week study on its own. And then I took the other 2 and made them something, something. Eventually, over time, 2002 is when I reframed it all again. And I gave the Holy Spirit its very own book. Didn't try to cram that in, because I also found that people needed more time to think about the Holy Spirit, because we frankly don't understand the Holy Spirit. And so that needed time. And then I gave more space for the growth, which is always really good and applicable. It's very practical. And Backing up to like, say, 1990, when I started writing the materials, the book Obedience was one of those first books that I wrote. And it really has remained virtually untouched since then. We've added a lesson on vocations, but really it didn't change hardly at all. So back to your question of like, how did discovery become discovery? So from knowing how to share the kerygma through our evangelical friends, and then realizing that in a Catholic context, we really needed to give time, needed to expand it. The things that we all know as Catholics, we really don't know. So let's take the time to look at scripture. So the faith studies incorporate scripture. They incorporate catechism a lot. And those building blocks help to just unpack those pieces of the kerygma, that four-point gospel message, which we unpack over six lessons.
Mm-hmm. And one thing that really struck me about our faith studies, in comparing them to other evangelical programs or studies, is that our focus is very much on the relationship, mm-hmm. versus on apologetics, which has a lot of traction in the church today, mm-hmm. in terms of debate and argument and trying to win someone,
right.
Or you're defeating their point of view. Not to downplay apologetics, because they definitely have their place, but where did the decision to take the relational route come from versus going more the, mm-hmm. let's argue our way to the truth?
Right. It came through experience. So in having conversations, evangelistic conversations on campus, and what were the most successful, what was bearing fruit, where were people encountering the Lord and changing their lives, it really wasn't when we had those apologetic debate type of questions or conversations. And in fact, the folks that we had those conversations with, even the really faithful Catholics who like to, you know, just hash out issues, those weren't the students that were bearing fruit in evangelization. And those conversations weren't bearing fruit in our evangelistic efforts. So we just saw like what was working, and what was working was reaching people's hearts, giving them enough information to understand the kerygma, but not more information than they needed. So for example, like maybe even to defend the divinity of Christ, we give enough information, but we don't give all the information.
You don't fire hose them with the catechism.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And I think that's one which really sets apart our faith studies from the others, in that it's all about reaching the person where they're at and trying to touch their heart versus I'm just going to argue my way. Like we're just going to fight it out. And then eventually in the end, you'll see that I'm right and mm-hmm. you'll turn around.
I think that ties into our perception of our work as being first responders. So we're going to go into this acute area of need, which is like people don't know Jesus. And we're going to give them the thing that, like you said, meeting them where they're at, like what do they need right now to stabilize them and establish faith? And so Pope Francis uses this analogy as well in Evangelii Gaudium of the field hospital. And this isn't the time to ask them about their blood sugar level or whatever. Let's just stop the hemorrhaging and give them oxygen. So in our sharing of the kerygma with discovery or with the ultimate relationship, yeah, we don't do all the things. We do the most effective, basic things that will create the clearest health. And in fact, salvation comes from the root word health. So this is the health that we're seeking to restore with the best basic stabilizing message that will have the best results.
Mm-hmm. Cool. So you started them in 1992. And it's now 2019.
Well, I actually started them in 88.
Okay, so you started them in 88, 2019, it 31 years. What have been, with the faith studies, what have been some of the evolutions in along the way, or aha moments of like, oh, we could like, you know, discard, you know, one moment was very early on going, okay, we're trying to squish way too much mm-hmm. into such a period of time, let's expand. What have been some of the other aha moments?
Another aha moment would have been when we've had source and growth, it was actually really hard to know which one should come next in the series. And the series is sequential on purpose, because if you don't have Christ, if you don't understand who he is, he's the source and summit of our faith, don't talk to me about growth because we need to establish that first. But what comes next? Because you want to give them everything, right? Mm-hmm. So being able to be sequential was really challenging. And what do they need next? The Holy Spirit, or do they need to know how to pray, how to read the Bible, how to receive the sacraments, fellowship, and service? Ah, I want them to know it all. We went back and forth and back and forth. But in the end, what we discerned was the Holy Spirit needed to come next. And he needed to come next because this is where, especially as Catholics, we are so prone to, okay, what do I got to do for you, God? Rather than the relationship, as you emphasized, the relationship of working with the Lord and him healing us and making us, you know, giving us the grace to do the things we need to do. So we knew that that was like a continual stumbling block for Catholics, and that it would be the gateway to opening up the other things anyway. So we made that decision. That was a big, I guess, turning point for us in the series. And another big turning point was the creation of commission, which began, the work began probably around 2008, 2009. And it was a small group of leaders that got together, led by Andre, and they were trying to figure out how do we convince disciples that they need to be missionary. This is before the terminology of missionary disciples was a thing, you know? But we were just convinced that everyone was called to be missionary. We had read John Paul II. We knew it. But how can we...
How do we do it?
How do we do that? How do we... sequentially teach people this is actually what you're supposed to be. This is what the church wants from you. So that team fought through the material and had many, many, many meetings, making a skeleton of what that teaching is. And I jumped in at the very end. They had done all the hard lifting of trying to think it through, getting the quotes, getting the scriptures. And I helped them at the end to just kind of shore up those lessons, and because I had experience writing the others, I could just do some of the work easier. And so it ended up being a 10-lesson book, which is long, but every time we've looked at it and go like, can we trim this? We just don't think we can. Like the lessons are so key to building this understanding of being a missionary disciple and how to be a missionary disciple. So that was a watershed moment for us in being able to unpack how we had been, how we were teaching it, and then how to make it a transferable process of teaching it. And that's really where all the faith studies boil down to, is that we wanted a transferable method, meaning if I can do it with the leader guide, I can show you how you can do it. I want this to be, if an 18-year-old can lead this, goodness gracious, 42-year-old man at your parish, you can totally do it. So we wanted it to be a teaching tool that was transferable, that you could do.
Mm-hmm. And very accessible. And yeah. I think one of the key points in this is that we're trying to cover the basics and give people a good foundation. Mm-hmm. So for example, in obedience, there's a chapter on sexuality, mm-hmm. and we talk about the theology of the body, but we don't have like the CCO theology of the body course.
No.
Because we're trying to set people up. We're not trying to, again, fire hose them with information. And for some, particularly on university mm-hmm. campuses, yes, theology of the body may be very important for those students to hear at that time, but in everything else that's going on, it's one part of the greater,
the fuller discipleship,
the fuller discipleship. And here's the basics. And then by all means, like if you want to know theology of the body, go for it. Like,
yeah. And we've had to kind of learn for ourselves what we are, maybe if I dare say, experts at and what we're not experts at. So when we do that lesson, for example, we have tons of resources of now go to Christopher West, now go to this. Like, here's where you're going to really learn this if you're digging into it. But we're not going to pretend to rewrite teachings on this, because why would I when Christopher West has done it, right? So, but what we are really strong at is creating missionary disciples. So we've invested our energy and resources in that niche of what we do. And we are going to just lean on those really smart people who have figured out the other pieces.
One thing we mentioned earlier on is that there's an intentional arc and purpose to our faith studies, and with the idea of forming missionary disciples at the end of it. Take us through like each study step by step and on how each one builds and layers on top of each other for the ultimate goal of when they walk out of commission, they have the formation and the transferable skills to be an actual missionary disciple.
Yeah, so we wanted to take people somewhere. Like, we want to take the person who has a cultural faith or no faith at all, to bring them to know Christ, to be walking in the fellowship and power of the Holy Spirit, to have the grace to live this converted life, to follow the Lord, to know how to live the Christian life through the basic fundamentals of how to pray, how to engage in Scripture, how to have fellowship and brothers and sisters in the Lord, how to understand their call to witness and to service, how to engage the sacraments in their for graces to live the Christian life, how to be more abandoned and obedient to the Lord's calling in their lives so that they're living in that docility of heart to do what the Lord is asking them to do, and to be obedient to the church's teachings and to just be really faithful disciples. And then to see that greater calling that we are called to mission. We are called to be, you know, co-laborers with Christ in this mission to bring salvation to the world. And that is the Christian call until we go home. So that is where we're taking people through the whole series, which means you can't just pick which color you think is best, like to do next. Even people who maybe are faithful and come and get involved or at your parish want to take discovery, and they'd be like, I know this. Like, I know the Holy Spirit. I know Jesus. Why do I have to start here? We would say start there, because you will, first of all, get oriented to the materials so that you can lead them with others, because people do need to start here. And so this trajectory of where we're taking really is, I guess, maybe my practical mind of, if someone I knew, I brought them to Christ, how would I bring them to Christ, and how would I help them start growing in the spiritual life to eventually become a missionary disciple for life? Well, this is what I would teach them. So, and that's what we did. So this is what we created with this goal in mind. And so in some ways you could say it's a discipleship series. It's taking people through this process. And in fact, very affirming, a few years ago, we were at meetings for the Church of the Americas. It was an Ecclesia in America meeting organized by the Vatican. And there the president of the Episcopal Conference for Mexico was speaking out of the Aparecida document, which is for all the bishops of Latin America. And it was a pastoral plan for Latin America. The primary author of that was Cardinal Bergoglio at the time. It's obviously Pope Francis. And what that document wrote was, I actually lost it, because it was saying we need to bring people to a personal encounter with Christ. We need to equip them to understand the role of the Holy Spirit in their lives, to strengthen them in their faith. We need to teach them basic building blocks of prayer, sacraments, fellowship. We need to give them small group communities. We need to help them grow in their understanding of the church's teachings. And then we need to send them out as missionary disciples. And I was losing my mind, because I'm like, that is the trajectory of these faith studies. That's what we're trying to do. So that is the purpose of it. So we're discipling people in a small group context. And I think sometimes when we talk about discipleship, we think of it as a one-on-one mentoring thing. But I would see it more broadly in the way that we actually would run many things that happen in CCO with a large group, small group, one-on-one paradigm. So, for example, leading a faith study, like I just described with Discovery, you have the small group context where that is happening. So a lot of good teaching comes out of that small group context, a lot of good dissemination of material, in a way that people can receive it, because you're hearing it, you're hearing someone else talk about it, you're sharing about it, you're processing, you're answering questions. It's very interactive. So it allows for a better integration of that material. So I'm talking pedagogically, it's my teacher mind coming out. But also you have the power of small groups, which is belonging. So you're not alone. You're not a faceless number in a crowd listening to a talk. You're in a group. You're belonging. You're sharing. You're integrating it more efficiently. And you're able to share the things you're struggling with. And it just it's a really good learning context. But like I said, with that fifth lesson follow-up in most of the lessons, that one-on-one time allows for the personal challenge to happen. That personal challenge will happen in the small group, but not as effectively as sitting down with you for coffee to say, like, hey, how are you feeling about discovery so far? How's your relationship with Christ? That allows for all the context of belonging and sharing that happened in that small group to really come down to, like, and how are you thinking about it? So powerful. But then, like I said, with adoration, now we've got a large group event. Now we've got, well, however many people you get there. But here in Ottawa, you know, the students will have 200 or 300 that come out for adoration once a month. And that's where Christ is present. All these people are there. And yeah, you're one person in the crowd, but you're saying all these people are coming out. All these young people are coming out on a Friday night to sit in front of a monstrance. Like, that's crazy. Maybe there's something to this. Like, this is bigger than what I thought. I thought this was just like me getting more spiritual, but actually lots of people are this spiritual. And so there's a motivation that comes from it. There's a momentum that comes from that larger group. So all these pieces kind of go hand in hand actually with the discipleship of the faith study series. So the books in themselves have great content. They have great transferable things. They have great pointers. They have good questions. But you need to kind of see the whole thing of what you're doing. What you're doing as a faith study leader is helping that people integrate into the larger community, not just adoration, but the church and to a parish community, like whatever. You're helping them find belonging and sharing with brothers and sisters. You're helping them personally encounter Christ. You're helping take them from, I don't know what I think about Jesus, to I'm going to share him with others. You're helping them build building blocks to grow. Like, there's a concept in your mind as the Bible study leader that's kind of wide and far. You're seeing where you're going. This isn't lesson by lesson, yada, 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 just hoop jumping and getting through books. Not at all. You know what you're doing. I'm taking people to become joy-filled missionary disciples who are teaching other people how to do it too, because they know how to do it because they've experienced it and they can learn how to do it and they can show someone else how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's something that we've seen a lot of success on in university campuses, but also we're seeing a lot of success in parishes in North America.
The parish thing has really exploded in the last, let's say 5 years. Probably, Garrett, you could comment better, but I would suspect there are more discovery studies happening in parishes than on our campuses now.
Yeah, probably. We have, I mean, right now, as of this recording, we're on 16 campuses across Canada. I believe we're on around since April, we've had 160 parishes purchase our materials.
Wow.
And by materials, I mean our faith studies. Hmm. So by the numbers, I'd say we have far more parishes using our faith studies than we do on university campuses. And we're seeing success on campuses and we're hearing stories of success in parishes. And in particular, the one that crosses my mind is from Oklahoma City,
mm-hmm.
where they started there with just a small group. It was nothing earth shattering. And now it went from one small group to now they have like 50, 60 people leading studies. Like, it is really blown up.
It has. And they really focused on this idea of creating missionary disciples, not just running a program for just generally for people. The people who did it were very intentional to find people who would be leaders, who would have every intent in mind to also lead the program once they were done, and with people who would also lead the program when they were done. Not because they were trying to be elitist, but because they wanted to build up that leadership strength so that there would be a wider reach in the end, exponential growth in that way. In fact, it was at that meeting at Ecclesia in America, that exact same meeting that I freaked out about the Aparecida document, that I was in a small group with the bishop of Oklahoma City, And they would divide us up into small groups with different questions. And he was in my small group, and he was really intrigued by some of the things I was sharing. And so we started a conversation. He said, I want to hook you up with my director of evangelization in my diocese. And that's how that all unrolled. And so now Oklahoma City is just like, they're
on fire.
They're crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think just to cap off our podcast, one of the things that really sets our faith studies apart is the uniqueness of the goal or the objective that mm-hmm. our faith studies have. We're not just throwing a whole bunch of random topics together and hoping that it sticks with people.
Yeah.
We're not just, you know, here's five sequential studies because we want to make more money off of it when we could just do one, because that's one way to look at it. And we're not like some programs out there where it's, you know, hey, run this, it'll be great, it'll be fine. Hope something happens. But we, like, our studies are really designed with the intention of, if someone comes into this with an open heart, open mind, and a willingness to try and willingness to go for it, they can and will come out the other end an intentional missionary disciple.
Yeah. It is very intentional. I agree. Like, it isn't like we sat and brainstormed a bunch of great topics. Like, I remember when I was leading youth group, like, you know, I would just sit down and brainstorm great topics for young girls to think about at youth group. That's not what this is. This isn't a brainstorm. This is thinking of what would I give someone who's starting to grow to become an intentional disciple, and then pacing that through the paces to through the books. So yeah, like I actually don't know any other program like it. I don't know any other program actually like it, even in the evangelical world, that is going from A to Z. And there's tons of other stuff we could teach. Of course there is. The church is wide, and you know, we haven't even touched on all kinds of things about prayer or a spiritual battle. Like, there's tons. But from the perspective of, for missionary disciples, like the cleanest route that we could see to get people out there sharing their faith, this is what we came up with. And it's working, and it's working in parishes. So yeah, like it is really unique, and we weren't trying to be unique. Like, we weren't trying to invent a program for missionary disciples. It's just who we were. We, from the very beginning, it oozed out of, you know, who we are, that we wanted to proclaim Christ and raise up missionary disciples. And how could we do that? How can we do that the most effectively? And then when boom, 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 made the program. So it's more like looking back and going like, hey, what did we do? It was super intentional, and which is interesting, because that's how we talk about accompaniment, is it intentional accompaniment. Mm-hmm. And we try to intentionally do the things that we're doing, not just having programming for the sake of programming, but it's very goal-based.
Thanks for joining Angela and myself today for our conversation on the faith studies. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please give us a rate and review on iTunes, as this will help us to reach new audiences. If you have any questions, comments, queries, quandaries, conundrums, or otherwise, please email us at podcast@cco.ca, and we'll answer them in a future episode. Once again, I'm your host, Gerhard, and you're listening to the Missionary Disciple Podcast by Catholic Christian Outreach. Until next time, God bless.